Blog Talk Radio.
It's the Larcher and Lawrenson Sports Show. It's Wednesday night, 8:30. We're coming at you live. We're in Lakeview, right here in Chicago, Illinois. It's October 23rd. Did I say that, Al?
You know, the best answer I give you, it's a fluid process.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for listening tonight to the Larcher and Lawrenson Sports Show. My partner, his name is Al Larcher. My name's Clark Lawrence.
How you doing?
There he is. If you're listening to this on podcast, we record this show every Wednesday night at 8:30 p.m. Like I said at the beginning, every Wednesday at 8:30, listen to us live where you can call in. The number is 888-787-4827, 888-787-4827. Like us on Facebook. We'll update you to let you know when we're going to be on through Facebook. Just search for the Larcher Lawrenson Sports Show. On Twitter, we are simply at Larcher Lawrenson, at Larcher Lawrenson.
You know, I was talking to the program director at Blog Talk Radio the other day,
yep.
And I found it stunning that we have a lot of listeners who, the podcast, see, I come from radio. People listen live. That's what you do. You tune in, you listen to the damn show. Well, nowadays, these kids, they go everywhere. They listen to the Beatles 24 hours on their phones and stuff. And the microphone's falling here. So now it turns out people listen to the show a lot, but they listen later in the week. So if you're doing that, it's okay to still be a part of the show and to go ahead and comment on
the
Facebook.
Podcasters,
we are on Facebook.
We'll answer your Facebook post next week.
The conversation never stops is what I'm saying.
And if you're listening to these succession? Al, help me out there. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. If you're listening to it that way, then you can hear the next show right after this.
Yeah. Because God knows that's what people do.
So tonight on the show, we're going to be talking some Chicago Bears, of course, with my friend Brian Hunter. Hey, Brian.
Hey, what's going on there?
Not much, man. We got some Bulls talk tonight, too. The Chicago Bulls open up their regular season next Tuesday night at home versus Miami. Brett Bridwell is here to talk about it.
Hello. Happy birthday, Mom.
There he is.
Thank you.
Sound like Al.
Wow. It's funny, Al's voice for anyone's parents, they all sound alike.
Are you excuse me. You a damn predator. All right, just get it. Okay, then I quit with your son.
We're blowing people's speakers away. Turn that
down. Nobody's speaker is being blown away,
Turn
Clark.
That down. All right, without any more talk here, let's go ahead and start the show tonight. He is Al Larcher. He's my partner. Here he is.
Well, Clark, you know, I don't know if you know this or not, but tonight's the night, the opening of the World Series. And I was thinking maybe me and the boys could change around the schedule, and instead of doing the show tonight, we could watch the World Series.
What's that?
Maybe we can just, you know, in honor of the beginning of the World Series, we can maybe just rearrange the schedule and the boys and I could have a couple pops and watch the World Series.
No, let's do the show. Let's do the show. It's live. It's on tonight. Let's watch it.
But we took a vote, Clark.
No, I think we'll just go ahead and do the show.
Chief voted. The Indian voted.
All right. I was going to try to pretend like I didn't know that the game was going on. But,
yeah.
I already heard Boston's up 5-0.
Right.
Game one, so.
Really?
Write it off.
I hate the Cardinals.
That's what I heard.
I hate the Cardinals, too. Their fans are just, they're horrible human beings. They're just disgusting people. I've never met one. I have good hygiene. I mean, the Cardinals fans tend to have good hygiene, believe it or not. Because you think St. Louis, maybe poor hygiene. But no. They're well-groomed people. They're just jag-offs.
All right, then. Yeah.
Yeah, we did send our crap water down there the other way when we reversed the flow of the river.
Well,
that is true.
Yeah.
That is true.
We had to send it somewhere.
A great engineering feat. Yeah. What better place?
And St. Louis didn't know how to send it back up, so it's not our fault.
You've heard the old tour guide joke, right?
No, I'm not in the tour guide train.
It's that we reversed the flow of the water, sent it down there to St. Louis. They, in return, bottled it up and sent it back up here, and we drink it now, and it's called Bud Light.
Oh, okay.
You haven't heard that one?
Yeah, no, that's funny.
It's a great tour guide joke.
Yeah, that's
I heard you laughing.
It gets them.
You got a chuckle.
When they're on their little scooters, it gets them rolling.
888-787-4827. That's the number, 888-787-4827. Or you can text us at the larger text line at
area code 773-559-5189. You can text whatever you want. Nude pictures encouraged.
Wow. Jesus.
Even if it is
Send them on in. Send them into the show. That's good. Whatever you'd like. Al, are you going to do your picks now?
Well, I have been studying all week. I've been consulting with experts. I have been talking to the finest that the world has to offer in football predictions. And, yeah, I have them, and I'm going to make them right now. But we'll talk later.
So are you...
Okay, I'll wait.
No, go ahead.
Now you're making me nervous that I got to stop. Okay.
What?
Fine. No.
No, the results are in from last week's contest. Last week it was just the three of us.
Uh-huh.
This week we have Hunter's in on it.
All right.
Hunter's in on the pick'ems.
I'm excited.
And Lauren's in, but I was going to bring it up in a little bit. Who won last week?
Did I win last week?
Huh?
Did I win last week?
Huh?
Did I win?
We're not there yet. I'm not ready to announce the winner yet from last week.
Okay. I've had a very stressful day.
It'll be all right.
I know. It's been one of those days where people yelling about headstones all day. I mean, it breaks a man. And my escape in this world is sports. And with our football team, the Chicago Bears, I got no escape. I have no sanctuary because my Sundays are quite possibly ruined because every hipster in this city
quite possibly ruined.
They're whining and moaning and crying and moping around because Jay Cutler's out, which by God is horrible. And even worse, Lance Briggs is out, which is
why are people saying that? Why are people saying one's worse than the other? I don't care which one's worse
because
they're both not good.
Right.
They're both not good things.
But, right.
And that defense wasn't doing so well with a healthy Briggs.
But you know what? There's in life, there's like a shitty Indian stew, and then there's actually shit.
Okay.
Okay? See, they're both not good, but I'll eat the stew.
Again, Brian Hunter's here with us today. We're talking some Chicago Bears, that's for sure. We got to talk about the game, Al.
I wasn't at this one. I just want to put it out there. I wasn't at this one, so I can't be blamed for anything horrible that happened.
Brian, were you able to catch the game this past week?
Game, yeah. And you know,
maybe get up on there a little bit. Yeah.
And it's kind of amazing that for the first time since the Eric Kramer era that the offense is not going to be the concern. McCown looked good. I mean, granted, it's a backup. It's 1 week. We'll see if the backup can keep it consistent week in and week out. But overall, we've got the weapons, and the offensive line is, it's night and day compared to what it's been in the last couple years. But it's just the defense, and it's age is finally caught up with them. The injuries, Lance Briggs is big. The Tillman's, not 100%. Yeah. But I think the one that's even hurting the most is Henry Melton.
It's just destroyed
the run. I mean, we can't stop the run.
Yeah.
And, just coming up. You look at the schedule and you see what's coming. How are we going to stop these guys?
Melton didn't look good in the beginning of the season, anyways. But then when his backup goes down on top of it,
Collins.
I mean, we're three down.
Guys, we've brought it up before on the show, Brian. The defensive line was a concern before Melton went down. The depth there, we don't have it, and that there the trickle effect that it had. And now the linebackers are dropping like crazy.
Yeah, it's just spreading. DJ Williams is banged. Uh-huh. Tillman's banged. And it was even the point, too, where, should he, Tillman at his age, should he even still be really playing cornerback, or should he even make the move to safety, what they did with a lot of the other vets, like Rod Woodson, did that and everything.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And he's got the size, and
Absolutely.
We need help at safety.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And because Conte's not cutting it. He's...
That guy should just be a Packer. That's how bad he is.
Wow.
He is. If I could beat one guy with a baseball bat on the Bears team, I would hit Chris Conte.
His name was trending locally during that game. I guarantee it because people were not happy.
No, and it's
nowhere.
A lot of people.
He wasn't good.
It's like he's he's very – he's an athletic. Like, he's just – but his instincts are there, and he's like a second – split second late to, like, every play.
Yes.
And he gets getting burned, and it's embarrassing to see him and the fact that you can't take him out.
Okay, so with the long weeks in between, we played a game on Thursday, then we didn't play again until Sunday. We have a bye week, and then we play on the following Monday. With all of that time in between, as far as Charles Tillman goes, I think that I think maybe he should have sat the whole game. I mean, you want to get this guy healthy. He has a lot of time to rest now, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
But at his age, I think we're going to be hard-pressed to see him playing a full-time schedule the rest of the week.
No, I just can't see him being a full-time, you know, I mean, what are we, average is, what, 50, 60 plays a game? I can't see him out there the entire time. You know, something. You got two games coming up with Green Bay where he's going to be mad. I mean, he's got some tough man. Dallas, you know, that Dallas game on Monday night coming up. I mean, he's got his workload. I mean, so you got to kind of pick and choose where you're going to be playing him and where you have to sit him and everything. So,
you know, I did catch did you catch the interview afterwards? They played it. I think Fox did the interview with RG3 after the game. And he and Tillman must be from the same hometown in Texas because he said, I'd just like to send a shout-out to it was a small town in Texas. I just wanted to let everyone know it was an honor and a privilege to play against Charles Tillman.
No, I missed that.
Here. He goes, he got me at first with that interception, but he goes, I think I got him back, and it was an honor and a privilege to play against him. It was a lot of respect. I was impressed.
Yeah, he saw Charles when he was a young man. I think they did go.
Okay.
They were in the same area. They're from the same area.
All right, and he looked up.
So there was a mutual respect there. And Charles is just a great human being. You want to talk about a top quality, top shelf guy? You know, a lot of people last week were replacing with Conte. They were replacing the O with a U.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, that was happening a lot. But when it comes to Charles Tillman, nobody does that.
That one came from more of the central Illinois part, probably.
Probably. But
yeah.
I don't know what that means, but sure.
What did they replace with Tillman?
Nothing. They just replaced him with a great man.
There's no O in his name.
There is no O. Honestly, they were changing. You know, there's nothing there.
You want to talk about the Merriweather thing?
Did you see it's peanut week, by the way, with the Wolves?
I did.
The Wolves are having
peanut week coming up. They said peanut awareness, and I'm like, are they going to be teaching how to people to prevent from getting the peanut punch?
Right.
Peanut awareness Sunday at the Chicago Wolves
game. So is this in conjunction with what Northwestern did last week at their football
game? They
had their first peanut-free football game where there was no
it's the same thing.
Yeah.
They're power washing a section. Yeah. That's what they're doing. That's their peanut.
So they're going to have a peanut-free zone?
There's going to be a peanut-free zone. Yeah.
No, that's a big thing. And being from the restaurant industry, and I'm sure, Brian, you kind of know where I'm at, is you got to be really careful with the peanuts these days.
Oh, yeah, I'm working at school, man. If a kid brings in peanuts or peanut butter sandwich, it's like alert 9. It's like...
Do they have a separate table to sit at and eat their peanut butter?
No, you throw it away, and you don't... You throw
a mom
away,
cannot send peanut
hands.
Butter and jelly in with the child.
No way.
No peanut butter and jelly sandwiches
at
school.
It could kill a kid.
Holy cow.
It's like bringing a gun to school.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
What is this country coming to?
It's not what this country's coming to. People are allergic to peanuts, and it kills them.
Okay,
what was
keep them out of school. We had a kid named Chuck Snowden, and he couldn't have any dairy. Or maybe his name was Chuck something else. So anyways, this kid.
The names have been changed to protect the
You know what? I'm not going
to
tell the story now. Whoops. Anyways.
So be careful with your peanuts out there, guys.
Yeah, all right. You know what? I'm just not going to be allergic to peanuts.
Do you want to talk about the Merriweather thing? Or is it played out by now? Here's the thing. With us doing a show on Wednesday nights, like, everything's played out. We've already trickled down to, you know, we still bring up the quarterback thing, but...
You saw it got reduced today.
Yeah, it got dropped to one.
Went from, if people don't know, Merriweather is a scumbag. He's a dirtball. He's a criminal.
Yes.
He's one of these guys who goes out there to shank people with knives when the refs aren't looking. You know, back in the day, they used to put Ben Gay under the eyes so they'd get in the sweat and the running back and then his... get in his eyes and he'd fumble the ball.
Okay.
That's the kind of guy this guy is.
Wow.
He's just dirty. He's a filthy player.
When he left his feet on that hit on Jeffrey, I mean, nasty.
There's no intention for the ball. It's just pretty much to maim the player.
So Marshall was the first one to speak up after the game because he took a nasty.
And he has a history of doing it.
Yes.
Yes, he does.
Even back when he was with the Bears, he had a history with it.
That's right. That's right.
He couldn't tackle. He could just hit.
Yeah, that's what he was doing out there. So Marshall spoke up about it and said that guys like that shouldn't even be playing in the league Guys like that don't realize that
bitch.
That there's a life after football, you know?
No.
And sure, maybe Marshall was. Maybe.
And I think the roles. Sorry, I think the roles that are in place that the Merriweathers of the world are. They won't be in the NFL. Like
no.
They're not. They won't be drafted. They just.
They're not
they won't
welcome
be
in the new NFL.
No, not at all. No. Like,
but then again, teams keep.
And
it wasn't a full filling. Teams keep.
You all right?
Yeah, I think a filling fell out. Teams keep fucking hiring this guy. Pardon my language. Teams keep hiring this guy, and the NFL, if they're all serious about this, they give him a 2-game suspension, and then he cries, and they reduce it to 1?
No.
Come on.
It's gotten to the point where it's a game. It's not quite chess. It's less than checkers even. The NFL suspends him for 2 games, knowing that he is going to appeal it, knowing that they're going to drop it down to 1. Why don't they quit that process and just say, here's your suspension. It's it. And I believe, I don't know if this is because I'm on the Bears side. Maybe we can talk to Brent about this. He's the only non-traditional Bears fan in here.
NTRB.
But my does that sound right? Non-traditional Bears fan?
Yeah.
Right. You're here
I'm
now.
I've come around.
Yeah, you're here now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I understand it. But
glad you do.
It's
hard.
But
every year it seems like it's one step forward, 2 steps back, and I feel like every year at the bye, it just happens every year where you go in with so many more questions than you have answers.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And it happened again this year. It was just like
a
complete wash going into the bye, you know?
But I think that my point was earlier on the situation was I don't think that there is a place for that guy in the NFL right now.
But there is. They keep signing him.
And I think that you really need to come down on guys who are playing like this.
But they have an opportunity to, and they didn't.
I think they know, too, that even the Players Association is such a huge, you know, union and everything, too, that they're in the way that no matter what this guy does, maybe they don't necessarily agree with him with his actions, but their job is to support the player. And they're so strong that the players' union would fight it. Like, whatever suspension, 4 games, 6 games, the players' union is going to come in and, like, whoa, it come down. And it's the whole, that's.
Well, I'm wondering why the players' union doesn't have the back of Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey in that situation.
You would think.
They need to start looking at it that way.
Sure.
Say,
he wants to punch him.
Yeah, he said on his show the other night over there on The Score. He said he'd like to punch the guy. And then DeAndre Hall jumped into it. Did you hear that?
Yeah,
that
he's defending.
Yeah. These guys, and it's true. It's just like Marshall said. These guys don't realize there's a game outside
of it. And there is a total difference, being totally malicious and going after, like, Mayweather and a clean hit where, you do get called for the targeting, and but a guy's making a clean play. Like, we all saw the Sunday night game, the Broncos, the punter probably had the hit of the weekend.
Oh my God.
He's in Indianapolis.
You know, he's got the random drug test.
Did you see
Monday.
That?
That's pretty hilarious. But everyone saw even more, it was a very serious matter, the Packer-Brown game. Everyone saw the hit on Jermichael Finley that was rushed to the hospital. It was a clean, legit hit. The Browns guy used a shoulder pad and he hit him. They still flagged him, but it's clean, and he's not maliciously going at their Jermichael Finley. That's what football is. There's a big difference between that kind of style and the thugs and Merriweather.
I agree. I know that you wanted to talk about speaking of targeting, the college targeting.
It's embarrassing.
I was just going to raise it.
It's unbelievable. So everyone, whoever, they don't know, the targeting rule.
Right.
Helmet, they review it. They get ejected right on the spot. That's what it is. And so it can happen. It can happen to anyone. So even if it's malicious, if it's like no intent,
holy
cow, ejected. And it happened, as an Ohio State fan, it happened to our top defensive back early in the first quarter, and it changes the game.
It
happened in the Florida game against Missouri. The very first play of the game it happened, and it was ejected. Their top safety was ejected. The very
and
first play of the game.
The officials, they're taught to really call this, tight. So the officials immediately, when it's a review call, obviously, they lean towards what the call on the field was. So the officials almost always go straight to ejection, and then it goes to the booth, and it's hard to overturn.
Because you need the whole...
So they call ejection, then you go look at the booth to see if it needs to be overturned.
Yes, right.
Does the team have to challenge the
call? No, there's no challenge.
If it's an ejection,
if it's ejection, it goes right to the booth, and they determine if it was... He actually did use his helmet, and again, if he's doing what Pat McGahee did, if Pat McGahee was in college, he's ejected.
Really?
Yes.
McAfee.
Automatically.
McAfee.
Without
McAfee?
Yeah.
McAfee, sorry.
It's okay.
But
McAfee.
But he's ejected, even though there's no intent. He's making a play on the sideline. So there's got to be some sort of, like, could you do, like, almost like a soccer thing, a yellow card, red card thing? I mean, something, but how can you justify a guy doing what he's
you're
asking him to do? Like, he's
you've
on
got
scholarship.
One guy running 20 miles per hour this way, another guy running 20 miles per hour this way.
And it goes
right.
back to the whole
I mean,
defense.
You can't, you
and it goes back
to
the whole
out
thing.
For one play where the helmet. I mean,
it's the whole
I'm all about safety, but
right.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, the reason why you can throw somebody out for throwing a punch is because it's obvious that they threw a punch. When it's like this, you can't tell if it's malicious intent or not. It,
some are. But,
no,
I mean,
absolutely.
I think that gray area.
Like the,
but Merriweather's headhunting out there.
No, exactly. Like the Chuck Cecil's of the world are no longer. But
right.
And here's the thing, too. They're talking about the defenseless receiver. Probably of all these targeting calls that are happening, 75% of the time, it's the receiver at the last minute turning their body, their head, of trying to avoid a clean hit coming. And what happens is the safety, the quarterback's head ends up hitting that helmet to helmet, and that's how it's ejected. And that's what happens.
Yeah,
in
your natural inclination
and
is
so,
to duck when someone thinks coming at you. To
it
was
like,
the NFL play. They went helmet to helmet.
And I understand, like, again, the whole player safety thing, too, but there's got to be some sort of rhyme and reasoning.
I don't like your yellow card point there.
Huh. Wow.
Something like
don't
that.
Don't bring that
I mean,
up over at Higgins.
No, I mean, not a yellow card. We wouldn't call it that. You'd just say, like, maybe the quarter or whatever. But, like,
that's when you bring the pink flags back. You throw them then.
Okay, a pink flag for sissified football.
There you go.
You go ahead and throw the pink flag and be like, well, we don't know if this is safe or not.
Larcher, no.
It's horrible. They're ruining the game.
But just imagine if that would happen in an NFL game. Like, imagine a big and it hasn't happened in the early regular season. Imagine this happening the national championship game. And,
and
this, if this rule this eventually possibly could carry over to the NFL, just imagine the effect in a playoff, like with all the, I mean, not to say that, gambling and everything gets thrown off too.
And don't get me wrong, there's a difference between malicious play and there's a difference between
hard-nosed football.
You know, a guy making a mistake, hitting somebody in the wrong spot. You know, and it's a fine line, and really I think it should be reviewed after the game because when you watch it, you replay it, I think you have a clearer definition after the fact.
And then you can even then
suspend
make a decision to suspend him for the next game.
Sure.
It gives you a chance to look it over and not have to make a decision in a minute.
Right.
Which at that point is kind of
and it gives the referees, it gives them a little bit more relaxation. That, again, they're not on guard because they're not worried about, did I miss that? Did I make the right call?
I'm sure the league is coming down on them saying,
that's what
our players, you
know? I think it was almost like a crackdown in general from a lot of the leagues. I mean, there was, I think they said 15 players ejected and then all the games last week. So, I mean, that's, it's going to affect, it's going to affect something eventually down the line here. So
back to McAfee, I just watched, he does a podcast of his own. It's like live in a bar in Indy. And
video?
He does a second by second breakdown of that hit. And he talks about how number 81 from the Broncos, he's like jockeying with him. He's like, why are you blocking me? He's like, I'm just doing what I'm told. And then he spins away from him, makes that hit. And he's like, it was the most athletic 10 seconds of my life. He's like, I came to 20 seconds later and realized what had just happened.
It was a great moment for that game. That game needed a moment like that, too.
Yeah.
I watched that with a couple of Indianapolis fans, Brent, for example. And it was tough for these guys. Like, Indiana would score, and they're pulling for the Colts, of course. But then it's like, Peyton's down by 3 touchdowns.
Yeah. The ultimate thing was, I think, we saw Peyton from – just real quick, I'm sorry. I don't want to get off topic.
No, this is interesting.
We saw Peyton, and it wasn't really Peyton crumbling, but we saw it fall apart for Peyton the way we had seen it so many times in big games for us.
Okay.
And the interception wasn't his fault. He got hit on that. The fumble wasn't his fault, but it just – things fell apart at the exact moment when they seemed to be coming together, and we'd seen that for so many years.
Do you think the Mathis hit, though? I mean, do you think that affected his arm for the rest of the game? Because it looked like he was pretty sore. I mean, he was
showing
a lot.
He sat out of practice today, I read. They said it was an ankle.
But I mean, that was a pretty vicious hit. And
you know Mathis had been waiting years.
No. Oh, yeah.
Guys, 888-787-4827, 888-787-4827 for the call-in. You can reach us here. You can talk to Al Larcher, myself. We're sitting tonight with Brian Hunter. Brian Hunter's here tonight, and Brent Bridwell, They are here with us, Brent Bridwell of Think Tank. Hey, on Twitter, Brent J. Bridwell.
Yeah.
You post some good happenings and whatnot?
Is it James?
No. Genius.
Genius.
Yeah.
Genius with a J.
Yep.
Brilliant.
Perfect. And then he's U2 Hunter. He's U2 Hunter over there.
Clark and Division.
I feel like the band.
Oh. Are you
Clark
a fan of
Division?
Celebrate the entire catalog.
All right. And you can find my partner, Al Larcher. You are Larcher than life.
Uh-huh.
What are your other 16 handles over
there?
Well,
I got Detective Sipowicz now. I'm posting as him.
How do you is it just Detective Sipowicz?
Yeah.
How do you spell it? You don't. You can't.
SIPOWICZ. Sipowicz.
There you go. All right. On Twitter. I'm Where Is Clark there. You can find Al on, you do the Instagram thing. You have a lovely Instagram, my friend.
I do. I'm like a vain girl. I love posting pictures of myself for no reason.
So I got to tell you about
a lot of duck lips.
Guys, have you heard the story where we have this this buddy of ours, Brian Luckman? Have you heard about Brian Luckman?
Yeah.
He is the great nephew of Bears great Sid Luckman, and he's our friend. What? This is true. Al has a thing with Luckman. What's your deal with Luckman?
Well, you know, I went to junior high with Luckman.
Wow, that's right.
And his family has the Luckman curse, where every year they go to training camp and they curse the Bears, so there's never another great Bears quarterback except for Sid Luckman. Every player gets – because that's they keep the name alive because every announcer is always like, this guy's the best Bears quarterback since Sid Luckman.
And this is a friend of ours, Brian. He might be on the show sometime soon. He was on the old Comedy Accident, Pod Accident. He did our podcast there.
Yeah.
He did our podcast there. And he might not do this show because of this reason, this rift that Al has with it. Luckman offered to go to Soldier Field and spill some of his own blood onto the field or something like that.
I think it's a trick. I think that's a trick to do like a Cubs curse permanently.
I'm here right now to come clean. Sunday morning, you know,
what?
It was about 10 o'clock, a little bit before the game, and all of a sudden I got this message. You know where it pops up on your screen. It was a Facebook message.
Mm-hmm.
And it was from Brian Luckman. And I had a good 20-minute chat conversation with Brian Luckman an hour and a half.
Boom.
Before the Bears game.
Boom.
And I want to admit this to you now, Al. I'm sorry I didn't bring it up.
Yep.
I did.
Clark.
And
myth confirmed.
That's what?
I think it's still too loud. Guys, if you're in the chat room, guest 9315, thank you for being here. Casey Sutton in there, thank you for being there. Let me know. Tell him that's too loud. It's not.
It's just
loud.
Right. Believe me. Hey, did you get the movie reference at the beginning of the show? I didn't think so. You got it, right?
No, wait.
No. Oh.
I heard something in the background, but I was talking.
No. The way I started the show,
you're talking
World
to a
Series.
Bunch of Rocky guys here, Al.
Oh. No. What was the movie?
It's a
reference?
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
No, I didn't get it.
Oh, man.
Al, I'm a little young for
you
One Flew Over the
Cuckoo's
Nest.
You've seen that movie,
Cuckoo's.
Right?
Yeah, but I was too young.
Oh,
it was too scary.
The whole movie is he wants to watch the World Series.
And I did theater and stuff, and I never did a play or anything. So that means
oh, you did theater.
Nothing.
Well, that explains it.
Oh, get out of here.
Mr. Theater Major, I didn't know that.
Why'd you?
Huh?
Nothing.
Did you do dance,
nothing.
Or what'd you
get
do?
So Josh McCown's our quarterback.
Did you do singing?
Josh is our quarterback.
Like musicals. Were they musicals?
Josh is our quarterback.
Okay, just answer one question.
No, I played in a lot of musicals, and I did singing and everything. Yeah.
So you were in a couple of musicals?
Yeah, in The Music Man, I did the Barbershop Quartet.
Okay.
Now I
understand why you want to sissify football.
I did Joseph in The Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Of course you did.
I played the Pharaoh.
What else?
The,
you
excuse me.
Okay, then I quit. It's your son.
No, it's too loud. They couldn't hear
perfect.
You. That you're blowing, you're blowing people's speakers out.
Okay, well, I'm going to blow their minds right now.
All
right. What we as Bears fans, I'm sure Hunter will agree with me, what we as Bears fans wanted to see this year was an improvement in Jay Cutler. I think that's a successful season, knowing what we're going to do next year. It's step one. Because I don't think any of us had aspirations of winning the Super Bowl going into the season. 3 weeks in, we started feeling that way a little bit.
Uh-huh.
But going in, we knew what the season was. It was a test for Jay Cutler. The biggest test and the one test we always want to see is Jay Cutler step up on prime time against the Green Bay Packers and win a game. And that's what uh-huh. next week was. That's what 2 weeks from now was. And now it's not going to be. We're going to see another Bears-Packers Monday night game without our starting quarterback. We're not going to get a decision. And it's heartbreaking. And I think that's why people are so upset with the whole Bears situation right now. You say that's pretty...
It's even kind of the last... It wasn't the last Monday night game last year. That was the whole San Fran game. And that was the week before he got the concussion.
Yep.
And we saw, you know, the disaster of that. So, again, this is what we look like in prime time. And, you know, it's a kind of embarrassing thing.
It feels like we've been here before. We have.
That's exactly what I was saying at the top. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like it keeps happening over and over. It's a story. And it's not even anyone's fault.
It's a cycle.
It's just crazy.
So for this injury, back to the Cutler thing too, for this injury, how does this affect going into the next year? Do you sign him to the long term, or do you just got to do the franchise?
Got to do the franchise. It's the only thing
really?
You can do. Yeah, what are you going to do?
Why don't you give him a contract that's incentive-laced based on how many games? Is he not going to sign something?
Why would
like
he sign it?
Yeah, that's
got no reason, though.
So you franchise him, and you bring him back next year?
Yes.
I forgot about the franchise. That's absolutely what you do,
It's the only thing you can do at this point.
So Henry Melton's not going to be a Bear.
No. Neither is Julius Pepper. This is the swan song of Julius.
Is this his last year?
Well, he has one more year under contract, and he's expected to make like $15
million. Do they have an out?
I don't know what it's going to hit. I don't know what it's going to hurt him, but it's going to be better than having him.
Who would trade for Julius Pepper?
Nobody. There's nobody.
Nobody.
There's no trade.
He's a lame duck football player. He's Brian Urlacher from last year.
I hate to be the guy week eight who's looking ahead to the draft next year, but we're drafting defense, right?
Absolutely. You're going to have to, and just with what you're going to lose, you can't sign anyone this late because actually the way the contracts with the franchise, the Henry Melton injury is actually killing him the contract because – that's like dead money that they can't use and sign anyone. That's why they're not going out and picking up any available player. Like, I know there was a rumor I heard, like, Jay Ratliff's name got floated out from Dallas, but it can't happen because they don't have the cash because of Melton. So they're going to have to pretty much build through the draft, and we're going to see how good Phil Emery is. Like, he's brought in Cutler. I mean, he got Cutler and Marshall reunited.
Yep.
He's brought out, you know, he's drafted Jeffrey, but now you got to prove yourself on the other side of the ball now, finally, because we obviously, you know, Bostic, it's still too early to kind of tell it too,
sure.
But then I think wasn't his first pick like Brandon Harden, that was a miss, you know, so now he's got to prove himself on this side of the ball, so.
Oh, man. Yeah, we'll see what happens. It's the Shea deal. It's just, it's insane as Bears fan. It is the complete opposite that it's been in the past. We've always been completely worried about the offense.
Right. No, it's
and the defense has been solid.
It's crazy. I mean, like I said, probably since Eric Kramer were we able to move the ball. So it's, 20 years of pretty much this worthless offense. And that's before that, it was another – I mean, it's a whole group. How can a franchise go, since as we just brought up Luckman, that long without really having a crazy offense?
Since
Sid
Luckman.
It's crazy. It's pretty, 40, it's, pretty, it's pretty crazy to kind of think that.
Yeah. No, it's completely crazy.
On a side note, and, you know, I'm glad we have a panel here. Maybe they can help me with this. Clark, I know you're
What are you saying, that I can't answer your question?
It involves you. I know you're a just and you're a fair man. So I just wanted to put this out there. At the beginning of the season, Clark and I made a wager that Jay Cutler was going to have four 300-yard games.
How many?
Four.
It was five.
Oh, was it five? Okay.
Yeah, we'll play the tapes back.
I'll take your word on that because I'm a giving man.
Chad Briggs calls this the old man bet, by the way.
Cutler was going to have five 300-yard games, and if that happens, Clark was going to buy me a steak at the Long Branch, and if not, I was going to buy him one. Well, Cutler has two, right?
Yeah, he's two, and two losses.
Yeah, that's irrelevant.
Okay.
I'm asking you, instead of Cutler, we just open it up to Bears quarterbacks. It's unlikely that this guy is going to go ahead and throw a 300-yard game. So I think you being a fair man and a sportsman, you would open up and amend the bet to all Bears quarterbacks.
I've got to tell you, I don't know, fellas, do you want their opinion first?
I think that's fair. I blame both of you for not factoring in injury. Because last year, Clark and I bet whether Cutler or Peyton would have more passing yards. But that included injury.
Oh, it
because
did.
Because that was the risk. That no, was part of the risk.
It did. If you play it back, I said injuries don't matter.
Yeah.
I play it back. I know I did. We'll get the tape back to that episode. It's the one that I did from Kirkland.
Okay. So you said from the get-go injuries don't matter.
Yeah. We weren't face-to-face when we made that
bet. Oh, really? Oh, you got the tape.
Oh, yeah. I got the tape.
You,
I
didn't realize
he did throw that in. He's made bets like this before.
Wow.
So I think it's better if you extend it to McCown. I mean, just give the guy a chance.
Right. It makes it more interesting.
When the bet was presented, I was crossing my T's and dotting my I's, and I said injuries don't matter. I wanted that.
Okay,
tape.
So I understand you're a shyster, but now I'm asking.
I'm not a shyster.
I'm asking if you're a fair man, is what I'm asking.
I am a fair man.
So you're going to amend the bet?
I am a fair man, and I am willing to give you this. If Jay Cutler were to come back this season, and play,
well, he is.
I would be willing to drop it down to 295. 295 yards is all he has to make for those final three for you to get there.
No.
That's how good of a man I am.
No, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
All right, a bet's a bet.
Okay, so you're not changing it. Hunter, well, you see what I got to work with?
It's pretty tough sometimes, I know.
If he said injuries don't count, I mean, you knew what you were getting into.
You knew what you were
getting into.
Al, if we were in Las Vegas right now, would you be talking to the pit
boss?
The bookie was not. Yeah, the bookie in Vegas is.
If you had 19 and the dealer had 20, I mean.
This isn't Vegas. This is Clark Lawrenson, my partner. My friend, my comrade in arms, my comedic.
I wish that I could do this for you, Al. Partner, you have no idea how bad I wish that I could be that man for you right now.
But you're not.
I mean, a bet's a bet.
Okay, well, fine.
And let's be honest.
Yeah, all right, when do you want? When do you want to eat your steak?
What would you rather do? Take some gal out, take her out for steak, or would you like to take your partner, your good friend, where you got to enjoy the same great steak, and you were just paying for two?
I think I'll take the gal.
Come on.
The gal sounds a lot better.
Hey, you don't have to give me anything for Christmas. How about that? That'll be part of the deal.
Okay.
That'll be my Christmas / win present.
You know I can't do that. I'm a Christmas kind of guy. I'm an obese man from the Midwest. I love Christmas.
That's the only offer I have.
Future Santa. Hashtag.
Oh, ho, ho.
Are those the prereqs right there?
Okay, so all right, I'll get you a steak. But, you know, Cutler's just going to come back and he's. Do you think 4 games, Hunter? They're saying 4.
A torn muscle.
In the pecker?
I'm leaning toward the 6. I realize, and it also depends on how they fare these first couple games. Like, if they're just getting blown out, like, and they just go on a losing streak, why rush it and get ready for next year? But if they, you know, what's to say after the Green Bay, they win the next couple after that, maybe they try to rush them back after that 4th game. But, I think it's just a lost cause this season now. And it's not McCown's fault. I think McCown will be capable. But, I mean, we've talked about with the defense.
He looked good.
He did look good.
The Redskins don't have that much of a defense.
And that's the thing, too. It's kind of sad where we have confidence in our backup quarterback in Chicago,
not since Sid Luckman.
No, and then but it's like bizarre. It's like bizarro Chicago Bear, like backup quarterback. But now our defense is the thing that fails.
Yeah,
former backup quarterback Jason Campbell will get the start for the Browns.
I did.
Did you see that?
A step in the right direction.
And they're rivaling the Bears in, you know, quarterback Zeus. This is since they came back in the league in '99. Their 20th quarterback.
Wow.
Starting quarterback.
Boys, we're still going on the 15th. We're going to watch this game between the Bears and
Bears
Cleveland
Browns.
No matter what.
I don't know. You last week you were on the fence.
What?
You totally, I was like, hey, and you're like, I don't know, man. I got that.
I'm full bore.
You're in?
I think so.
I hope so. Oh, I think so. All right.
No, I mean, no, I'm in. I'm going there. It's just, I don't know if I have stat. I don't know if I can do the Rock and Roll Hall and all of it. It's up in the arms. It's up in arms. It's up in the air.
Okay.
But
I'll be at the game.
I'll be out Sunday night for sure.
Look at Brian with a Neil Young hoodie on.
Fuck yeah.
Rocking the Neil Young.
Young Neil.
Wow.
You saw him at Red Rocks, right?
Yeah.
Gosh, that's like a music fan's dream.
They didn't have a poster, so I had to get the sweatshirt.
You should put that on a sweatshirt.
I think that's better, actually.
You should put that on the back.
Yeah,
I like it. I'm digging it.
Yeah.
Speaking of red, how about the Bulls?
Yeah, I mean, Brent's here. He's been pretty patient about it. I thought you'd jump in and, like,
I had a couple segues that I held back on because I didn't want to.
There's a segue.
Bears,
yeah.
But I just got devastating news, though. This is breaking news. Greg Oden played 2 minutes for the Miami Heat tonight.
Oh, no.
Scored 2 points.
And broke
dunk.
What?
Nothing.
What?
Nothing. That is the scariest thing in the world to me. That changes everything.
It's funny because we have a guy here with us who is a big fan, and he's wearing the shirt of Greg Oden's school. So
he's an Indiana boy.
I wonder his thoughts.
I love Greg Oden. It's terrifying to think, even if he comes off the bench and averages 8-4, that's terrifying.
It's that potential is why they drafted. You know, they signed it, and they even signed him to a 2-year deal with the player option where. So they're taking the risk. So
they knew he didn't have to play this year.
Right. So there is something that they've seen or, you know, the work that – I mean, I just know from hearing back in Columbus, like, all the work that he's done.
Because
he went
back to Columbus,
correct.
Right?
He's worked – that's where he's – I mean, he's admitted, like, in interviews, like, if you've gone, like, he got caught up, like, his rookie year. Like, he got caught up in the whole partying thing. This is, like, drinking – like, nothing bad, but, you know, this partying got out of shape. But now that he purposely just stayed in Columbus and like went to school and just worked out at the facility. He said his weight is like down to just even lower than it was his freshman year in college. So there's something wrong. So I'm not going to take a bet that he's going to be an NBA star, but if he becomes this sixth or seventh man,
even if he's a backup center, that's terrifying.
Oh, just give guys 15 minutes. 15
minutes. That's terrifying for us with just no Joakim Noah.
It'd be great to have him there. Like, right. Oh, I mean, we have not. But no. Yeah. Odin's.
If he gets 15 minutes a game for a full season, that's.
How old is he?
He's only 24.
Oh.
he looks like Robert Parrish's older brother.
He looks like he. I mean, he looks
LeBron,
like.
I mean,
he looks like he fought in World War II. I mean, he's that old, but I mean, he's.
When people in the future look at that picture, you know, they'll be like, wow. It's nice that they let the old guys coach, but also play as well. When they look at
younger
LeBron
looking
Odin,
brother Bill Russell just got busted with a gun on a plane.
Yeah. How about that?
I'm old. I don't know. He's
70. You can do that. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, you can get away with anything.
He hasn't flown since he last played. That's all.
Half the time they took a bus.
So that's what scares you the most.
Now it is, honestly.
You currently have the Bulls as a contender.
For them, they're probably going to have the best record in the East, right there with Miami. But for them, it all comes down to that Miami series. And, I mean, I'm not worried about the Pacers. Like, just based on our mentality alone with them, like, they're like our little brother. Like, Derek even came out and said, Derek doesn't talk shit. But he was just like, it's not a rivalry. Our only rival is the Heat.
Yep.
And it's a preseason game, and people will say what they will, but that preseason game against the Pacers when both teams put their starters in for the last 6 minutes, that was as good as a regular season game gets. And they had no answer for Derek. And despite their size and all these other advantages and Joe not playing, we smoked them.
Back to your point, though, it will be the key to get that number one seed over the Heat, because you don't want to play the Pacers in the second round. I mean, that's just going to – whoever has it, whether it be the Heat or the Bulls, and we'll just say one of those teams advances.
Do they go 1-2-3 this year?
What's that?
They go 1-2-3? The Nets aren't going to be able to compete with the old guys?
No. But whoever plays the Heat in the second round, again, they're going to probably advance 6 or 7 games, but they're going to have nothing left.
Left? It's going to be a bruising. I just also read NBA owners changed the finals format to 2-2-1-1.
Saw that. Yep.
Which is pretty huge. They always went 2-3-2 for media purposes. They didn't want when Boston was playing LA, they didn't want the media jumping coast to coast. Saved a bunch of money. But Phil Jackson, he always had the argument it put the crucial game 5 to the team that didn't earn it.
Right.
And game 5 is usually the pivotal game of the series.
And, of course, the 2-3-2 format, that was simply the team with a better record played 2 games at home, then you played 3 on the road at the team with the smaller record.
So if you
and
stole
then you went
one
back,
from home
right,
the first two
you had
games,
a great chance of knocking it out at home.
Yeah.
Or back home against the team that had the better seat. So you're actually at a disadvantage. So now they've changed it, and they've gone 2 games at home, then you play 2 games away if you're the team in the finals with the best record. And then it's one back home, one there, and then one back.
So do you like this better?
I think it makes more sense for the game.
I do. Every other series is that way. Every other series in sports is that way. And they did it for media purposes, and I think that
it
should
was,
be the
Yeah, it was for media, and then obviously just travel in general is better than it was 30 years ago now, where they're chartered planes and not playing, crappy planes to get across country.
They're just like a media plane.
Right.
Yeah.
But guys, I'm real excited about the Bulls. I couldn't be more excited. I think Derrick Rose, I know a lot of people in the preseason are calling him the second best point guard behind Chris Paul, and I'm totally fine with that because he is the second best point guard, but he's also a top three player in the league. Michael Jordan, you could call him the best shooting guard in the league, but what did that mean? I mean, Clyde Drexler was a great shooting guard. Michael Jordan transcended position. He changed the game in a way as such that you'd never see anything like it.
Right.
There are two players right now that do that. That's LeBron, and flashes of brilliance, and it's preseason, but we're going to see it all year, and it's Derrick Rose.
No, we won't see it all year. I mean, he's going to be injured part of it. Probably. I'm going to make a bold prediction. The Bulls are going to make the playoffs.
Why are you going to be so negative about it?
But they're going to be tired and injured when they get to the playoffs.
It's just your Bears hangover talking.
All
right, we'll see.
What's the over-under on Rose regular season games played this year? Like, how many do they just rest them? Like, when they're playing the Bobcats at home, should Derrick Rose really be out there?
And Al, I know you're down on Tibbs for that reason of overplaying people. Tibbs adopted Greg Popovich's offense this offseason.
Yeah, they changed the offense.
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of point brings it up, passes, cuts through. It's exactly what Tony Parker's doing. But that's not what I want him to adopt from Greg Popovich. It's the resting of players. It's taking time off. And Tibbs, he is a top two. Pop might be the best coach. He's the best coach in the league.
Yeah.
But I can't name. I mean, Rivers is really good at managing a team with a lot of talent, you know, much like. Well,
a lot of ego. With egos.
Exactly. He's a good man. Like, that's why he got out of Boston. He's like, I can't coach a shit team. I'm good at really managing a lot of really good. Tibbs, I think, is the second-best coach in the league, and I hope, and from what we've seen this preseason, I hope he's learned to rest people. And, you know, we're being extra cautious with Joe. We're being extra cautious with Jimmy. I hope that that's the lesson he's learned, because he's taken some heat from the media. He's obviously taken some heat from Gar Foreman. I think that big tiff is blown out of proportion, but I think there is a point there that we need to, especially with our lack of depth big, and I think we probably need to make a midseason trade for a backup.
Is that where they put dangle like throughout the first part of the year? Because you're not re-signing him. So what are you going
to win it all? We re-sign him. If we don't, we slide Jimmy to the three and look for a two in free agency next year. It's a huge year of free agency.
Yeah.
But I think we keep Dang all year. I mean, if we win it all.
Right.
Pretty much everyone's back.
Well, I've been hearing something, and it might have been you who mentioned something to me about the development of some of the guys who are not the starting core. Teague, you think you've seen him grow leaps
just
and bounds.
Just this preseason, yeah. I mean, the beginning of the preseason, he was terrible, and it was just like, what's this guy doing? I know he had a really good D-League, but that last game, he showed some real flashes, a lot of pull-up jumpers that were real nice, and I mean, I don't know. I mean, he might be the ultimate trade bait right there. I know Utah has shown some interest in him.
Okay.
But
that might work. That might be all right.
I don't know that he's necessary for the plan. The good thing about our backups, like Heinrich, Dunleavy, even Snell, and
Snell,
Taj.
You're already bringing Snell into that.
Snell looks pretty good.
He's shockingly good.
So
he's a big Tibbs guy.
You're saying he's going to get some minutes.
He is. But I think the good thing about all those backups is they can play at least two positions. Dunleavy can go 2-3-4. Taj can go 3-4-5. Heinrich 1-2-3. Even I mean he's not going to go three, but you know
let me
look
at this. Dunleavy or Bellinelli.
Bellinelli. Last year is what we needed. I think Dunleavy is going to be great for us this year. I mean he'll be able to slide into a starting spot when he needs to. He's going to hit a lot of threes, and he's a fundamental player. Thing about Dunleavy, I pulled up this article. I lost it.
No.
He is loving Tibbs' ball. He's like, he said, I haven't practiced this hard since playing for Coach K.
Wow.
Yeah, he's like, you come every day. You can't be tired.
That's why Coach K got him on the USA.
Right.
That's why Tibbs is on USA.
I would love to just watch a sit-down with
Could
Tibbs and Coach
that?
K.
Yeah. I'd like to watch their practice.
But he's loving it. He's played for a lot of dog shit teams in his career, mm-hmm. and he's just like, you know what? It's hard. It's hard work, but if you're not in it to do that, then what are you in it for?
Right. And I think back to like what you said with the whole changing of the off, like the whole Popovich bringing that in. If you look, like Popovich's offense made a career of Matt Bonner. Like, where else is Matt Bonner ever going to play in the NBA just besides standing
change
up and hitting
league.
Threes?
The corner
Dunleavy,
three.
Dunleavy can hit that. I mean, he's proven that throughout his career back
and
in college.
The corner three is
he's
something
gonna
everyone's
nail that.
Looking for now.
Exactly.
Because
and Dunleavy can hit that.
Yeah.
For sure.
And
I think it's, I think that's a very – and it's a very smart move. And that's knowing that they were going this direction with the offense.
A
like,
veteran
a
that plays defense and can hit a three is something we definitely needed.
Awesome.
So, we were among the worst in the league, I know, in three-point percentage last year.
And then the rookies. Snell's – he can contribute.
He's going to be something. He's going to be something. I went to the Pistons game, and this is all preseason, but, you know, they're trying just as hard as we are.
Yeah.
And he put up 12-4-3, four steals, three assists, and was incredible. Hit two three-pointers. I mean, just fit the game so well.
Wow.
He comes in, and it's not like a drop-off, you know. You're not like, oh. I mean, he's in there.
Again, we're talking Bulls here. Brent J. Bridwell is in here. He's at Brent J. Bridwell on Twitter. We can call him Brent tonight. Brent from the block. You're right down the street here. It's fine.
Al, you're kind of tuning out over
here. He's here on the Larger
Lords
Sports Show tonight. Brian Hunter's been in here talking Bears.
I found a slideshow of NFL cheerleaders.
Yeah, I saw them on Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders. I just saw that. It pissed me off. I wanted to jump
Which
in
Which brings
bit.
Me to another point, Al.
They're not.
Just be a fan of the Bulls.
I am. I love the Bulls.
Just watch them. Just watch them.
I enjoy watching Bulls games.
You tuned out for the last 7 minutes of Bulls talk.
But football, but when it comes down to it, it's about the playoffs. And this team burns out because they play too hard in the regular season. So I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong and that I can enjoy the playoffs with you guys.
Al Archer needs a small amount of games in the regular season. Roughly 16, it sounds
like. Like most NBA fans, honestly.
I mean, that's part of the debate is 82 games, it's a long season. Like there's talk of shortening to 74 or 66.
No sports league is ever.
The owner will never do it because that's how much lost revenue.
If there's ever a sport that should shorten their season, it's
baseball.
And they will never do it because people are still making money. And
absolutely.
Yep.
The athlete's health is secondary to that.
And here's the thing. I understand the marathon aspect of basketball. And I mean, the game itself is a marathon during the game, and then the strategy intertwined with it. And then the season itself, same thing with baseball, that's part of the game is the longness of it and keeping your team running. I mean, it's a machine. It's running a motor. It's keeping the Pistons running, keeping the basket scoring.
Enough about the Pistons.
We don't want to get into
that. Why'd you have to bring that in?
I'm sorry.
You go to Detroit.
The hell
with
Detroit.
That's how it goes. I get it.
I know.
Yeah, how was that trip in Detroit?
Jiminy Christmas. So anyways, I just think that the goal is to win a championship.
I would agree with
you, Al.
We're
just not there yet. I know.
That's fine. It's a long season.
It is
exactly.
a long season.
By the end of the season, we're going to be there.
I hope so.
But I agree with you. A lot of people tune in. It's a fourth quarter league. You know, you only have to watch the last quarter for things to matter. But the reason you want to tune in is because every single game, Derrick Rose is going to do something that you've never seen before that makes you jump up out of your seat and say, how the hell did you do that?
Yeah.
And he's good for that at least once a game. And the only other player that is of that level is LeBron.
Is Derrick Rose currently a better ball player than he was the season that he went out?
More efficient, absolutely. He had 25 points left, and this is all preseason, and I'm sure people will just be like, oh, okay.
Well, I mean, maybe he's playing at 110%.
Maybe he played a little
playing
too much in the preseason game there.
Oh, all right. Maybe the rest of the league is playing at
But he had
80%.
25 points on 6 of 10 shooting from the field. He's shooting 65% from 3.
The stat that's blown me away, the fact that his vertical jump has gained 5 inches. And that's a fact.
Is that
it's according to the Bulls.
No, it's according to him, and he's not one to
lie
about.
He's not the smartest
things.
Guy with numbers in general.
Right.
Yeah, but the man has some basketball instincts, and if you look at him, he seems like
he looks
vertical.
Good.
If we're playing on the old Nintendo or on one of the PlayStation games, He's on turbo the whole time right now, and the rest of them are on regular.
No, you notice it when he goes out of the game. When he's bringing the ball up the court, he's in the middle of the pack. You know, like Heinrich, he'll be behind, surveying the floor, looking where to pass. Derek is in the middle making it all happen.
He dribbles right up into the middle of that. Because he can get out of that. He can get into it and get right out of it, and that's how it is. I like that you use the term that he's going to transcend the position of point guard.
He is. He's just a different type of player. Like it is so explosive that he changes everything. Derek Rose in the preseason, his PER, which is a very very important stat in the NBA, it's a Hollinger stat, factors in pluses and minuses while you're on the court. His PER this preseason is 39.64. He's averaging a point a minute. The highest in the league last year was 31.6, LeBron. The highest of Jordan's career was 31.7. The highest of all time is Wilt at 31.8. He's going to be better this year.
Yeah, I'm happy with it, and I will be excited.
He's shooting
to watch.
About, he's like 6 of 10, 9 of 15, something. He's like 60% from 3.
Yeah.
That's all he does.
Well, that's what he pretty much did the whole year, is that he just shot three-pointers pretty much half the time.
That's all he could
out.
Do for a long time, yeah. Another thing Dunleavy said about post-practice is he's like, it's the first team I've ever been on where I stay after practice and I can't find a basket to shoot at because everyone stays after practice.
That's good news. That's good news.
I would just say they're just running themselves into the ground.
Working way too hard.
I read a stat about guards in general that have been hurt with an ACL or with a knee injury. When they come back, their three-point range, or their jump shot, basically, their three-point jump shot, too, the increase in field goal percentage.
Yeah, it was like a
it was like 5 to 10.
New York Times.
Right, I saw that.
Like
stuff,
a Wall Street Journal,
that's
I think.
That's an amazing fact. Yeah. And he was shooting, what, 31%, I think, is his career average
worse.
From three?
It couldn't get any worse, but yeah.
Huh?
But no, it couldn't get worse, but the fact that I think that it goes up, like, I think they even...
What do the best three-point shooters shoot?
I think 40. The league last year, 46.
I think Dunleavy was...
Anything over 40% is...
Yeah.
Anything over 40%.
And 31's terrible?
Anything over 40%
is... 31 is... I mean, that's one out of three.
Okay. Anything over 40% is good, but I think the top, are at 46, 47.
Okay. Yeah, I got it. But just that fact that they increase on that with all the other abilities with Rose, you've got to think that this...
Marquise Teague said from practice, he's like, if he's hitting that three, he's unguardable.
That's what he
said. I mean, there's if you've got that outside shot going.
I agree.
We got what, 5 minutes left of the live show?
Yeah, we're down about 3 minutes right
okay,
there.
Okay, so I just want to make sure before
we'll get to the Larcher versus Lawrence and versus Lawrence.
Yeah, I just want to see on the live show if I won or not.
What's that?
I just want to know if I won or not. I mean, that's what people have been waiting for.
Why on earth would you think that you won this week?
Because I'm good.
All right. Well, let me announce third place from week 7. This is last week's picks in the Larcher versus Lawrence and versus Lauren pool. It was third place was 64 points was Clark.
You win.
Excuse me.
You a damn courtesy. All right, just get it on. I got a goddamn
chance.
Okay, then I quit. It's your son.
Number 2 with 66 points. Lauren. And number 1.
He earned it.
Alfred Ferdinand Larcher.
And we got a call, by the way.
It only took until week 7 to get his it only took until week 7 to get it right. He finally won a week.
No. Here's the big comeback.
We'll get on to our picks
right
after this.
Right now.
Lauren has her picks in. I know Brian has his picks. We'll do Larcher versus Lawrence. Brent, maybe we can talk a little more Bulls.
I wasn't asked.
What's that?
About picks.
No, I wanted to go grab drinks last night. I was going to bring it up, and then I sent you a message today with it. And
I texted Clark last night. Yeah, I'm down to hang out. And then 5 minutes later, I'm at 8 this morning. Almost late for work.
So that's why you're not invited. There it is. Hey, guys, Al, do you want to answer a call as we go into the overtime? We'll take a call into the overtime for the first time. We have a call in the 419.
4-1, Toledo.
Yes.
Caller in the 419. How you doing tonight, sir?
Hello. Doing good. How are you guys?
We got you. Welcome to
I got a question for Brian.
All right, what's your question for Brian?
Hey, Brian. Hey, what time is louder time?
Oh, it's 10, is it 10:21 or 10:51?
Dude, I think it's 10:51. We're coming up on it.
I like it. Louders. I got it.
Louders time.
What the hell is that?
That's it. I was with this guy in New Orleans for his bachelor party a couple weeks ago. This guy's a crazy man.
That's
all
awesome.
I got to say.
Thank you so much for the call, Brian. Appreciate it. Larcher and Lorcher Sports Show. He's out, Larcher. Brent Ridwell, thank you
for joining
us.
Happy birthday, Mom.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Congratulations on that bottle of Jameson, boys.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
We did the whole thing. Guys, we have more coming up in the overtime. Give me a second to regroup here. We've got to go over next week's picks.
What a horrible week of football, by the way.
Oh, this coming week?
Throw the ball, hit the ball, and you catch the ball. You've got it!
Dallas-Detroit could be a shootout.
Yeah, you just get him now saying, what's the guy that Vikings just signed?
He's out with concussion.
Yeah,
Freeman's
concussed. That sounds like an excuse to me.
No, he was concussed the whole time.
Speaking of excuses, I want to talk about the Peyton thing. They're calling it an ankle, but they're wondering if maybe he had dead arm there near the end of that game.
I think that neck and that nerve that was...
You think he took a hit?
That massive sack that they got
that
the safety on.
That game was tragic. It was a Greek play with Reggie Wayne going down.
Oh,
that was
so much emotion.
So here's a lot of things to take off from that game, like the whole Mathis hit, which it looked like he almost kind of like held up a little bit last second, realizing that it was painting, and like if it was like Tom Brady would have been pretty much dead on the, because I mean that was like the cleanest shot he could have. But Manning, I mean, just the way like they showed a thing of him warming up on the sideline probably about 2 or 3 minutes. Throwing the ball, and every time he was throwing, it was just a wince. Like, and you could just see it, and you saw for the rest of the game, he doesn't throw a spiral anyway. But
yeah.
There was a lot of fluttering balls.
Did you see post game? They asked him about some of his duck balls he threw, some of the wobblers, and he said, "Well, I also threw some wobbly touchdowns."
Yeah, which is awesome.
Yeah,
but it's so funny, like the whole conspiracy, like from outside, like you know, was Peyton complaining that they pumped in noise on him, like, you know, just like, because that was
I'll
the whole rumor.
Like,
that was the old rumor back
then.
Which
it wouldn't have mattered with the stadium open, but I guarantee you they opened the stadium because it was cold as hell that
it was
night.
55,
it was
55.
And Peyton wants a temperature-controlled environment.
He wanted,
Drew texted me, my buddy.
Oh, they had
Drew,
it open?
Yes, because they knew when he was a Colt, he wanted it closed because he knew it would be 68.
And Drew Freeze texted me during the game. He said, we fucked up the machine before the game because we put all that emotion in there. It threw off his rhythm.
Okay.
And
we'll see. Hopefully it's not an injury. I mean,
everyone's excited about the season he's having. So
yeah, the Denver seemed unstoppable, and they really do kind of still seem unstoppable, even with a loss.
So,
you know, because it was bound to happen.
So what about the Chiefs?
Oh, how about them? 7-0 for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're doing well.
And they play Cleveland this week.
Brought that new one in. Oh,
they play Cleveland, so probably we'll just say 8-0.
Probably.
They still got two games against Denver.
They do. And those should be great games.
Yeah.
Because then, I mean, I don't think how much people have watched KC this year or seen anything.
It's their defense.
But their defense is unbelievable. I mean, Kansas City's defense. And it's just they can get to the quarterback, but they also have the cover guys. They can match up with Denver's receivers. Like, Eric Berry's one of the best. I mean.
Oh, really? Because I was talking with Clark earlier in the week, and he told me no teams in the NFL could tackle.
No,
or play defense.
As we talked about it earlier in the week, nobody is tackling anymore.
Uh-huh. No,
the league isn't
nobody's
tackling,
tackling
as much.
But the Chiefs, then,
there's a bunch of rules against tackling right now, so not all teams are doing it.
No, maybe, some teams are just opting out of tackling, the Bears being one of them.
How about this? You said the Bears, by stats, are the worst tackling team this year. They've missed more tackles than anybody? Is that what you saw?
Something like that, yeah.
You saw it on stats? I don't know. You were talking. You said it's a proven fact. Like, you told me that
they're... Right, it's a fact. They're in the bottom. They're definitely in the bottom five.
They're in the bottom. Cool. Well, my
missed tackles, number one, I believe.
Well, maybe they just need to let the guys know that they don't... It's not two-hand touch yet.
Yeah.
They can still tackle. What are you saying? Do you think Mel Tucker needs to go? Because that's been a lot of the
talk.
No.
It's way too soon. He doesn't have the talent, though.
I don't think it's on Mel Tucker.
No,
it's
not on him at all. Yeah, he just hasn't had a chance.
I mean, this is defensive town. We'll crucify an offensive coordinator in a year.
At the local establishment you watched it at, what was the defensive coordinator saying?
Bring Lovey back.
No, there was one guy.
He's got a guy at the local tavern that he calls the defensive coordinator.
He's the DC. He shows up. He just drinks Diet Coke, and he yells at the TV. And he
you
always
call him the DC because of the Diet Coke, or you call him the defensive coordinator?
A little both. He will yell at the offense, and the whole time he'll blame the offense. Anything, you know what, if the offense would be, the fumble.
That's been his default for years. It's
right.
Worked for so long.
He's confused. And then anytime the defense is playing, like, he'll sit. We sit at the bar, and there's TVs in front of us, but there's also, like, a big screen at the end of the bar. And when the defense plays, he'll get off the bar stool, and he'll stand in front of the TV with his arms folded yelling at the defensive player. And so he's the DC. But
drunk and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
There was an annoying
is that
guy.
Loud?
That is not that loud.
That was perfect.
Damn it. How'd you know I played that?
There's another guy at the bar who only talks about food. And when Jay Cutler went down, he started like, oh, that guy sucks anyways. And everybody just looked at him and gave him the death stare. So,
Al, thanks for coming back to the show tonight. We talked Bulls for a moment.
Yeah.
Quick update, Boston holding on to a 5-0 lead. Bulls up 44-35 over OKC.
There we go.
Oh, okay, give them a rest now. We'll just pull them out. Let everyone relax. We see what they can do. It's preseason, right?
Got 6 days. They can sit for 6 days.
So, Al, you've won 1 week out of seven. Lauren's won three times. I've won twice. We got one more.
So
there.
I'm two behind.
And Chad Briggs won another week.
Okay.
Yeah. So this week we got Brian playing with us. Brent, I'm so sorry.
It's fine.
We were supposed to. Yeah.
I'll go Al for this segment.
Yeah.
I'll pretend like you're talking about the Bulls and just be Al.
I think there's some kind of NFL cheerleader.
I let the pros talk. You want to look at the cheerleaders?
But, it's weekly confidence pick 'em. 13 points go to our most confidence pick, and we pick the games as who we see the winner will be. No spreads involved in that. 13 points go to the most confident, 1 point to the least confident. 7 and 8, that'd be about the middle. Oh, actually, 7 and 6 this week, wouldn't it? 6.5 is the median there.
Good math.
All right, thank you. Well, as you know, Lauren wasn't here tonight to screen the calls. Good friends had a baby tonight. So,
Congrats.
Congrats to her good friend. Get up there.
Clark doesn't want to talk about that.
So, but I do have her picks. She made her picks before she left. So
I hope you got a couple of her pictures.
And she's yeah, all right now. Hey now. The game of the week, which is tomorrow night, Thursday night, October 24th, for those listening live, it's tomorrow night, and you can listen to us live every Wednesday night at 8:30 on Blog Talk Radio, the Larcher and Lawrence show. Spectacular. I got Carolina over Tampa Bay at Tampa Bay. I got it with 5 confidence points.
Well, I'm similar. I have Carolina, the Mighty Panthers, taking down the clueless Buccaneers with 4 points of confidence.
I have Carolina as well with 4 points.
Carolina as well with 4 points. And then Lauren.
We all think alike.
Looking at her list. Hey, Lauren, did you put the marker over the team that you picked to win? Oh, she picked the Pirates, Tampa Bay. She picked them with 5 points.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Buccaneers are Pirates. That's right.
Why would she highlight the team she would have thought were going to lose? That makes no sense.
No,
Clark.
I thought she just marked it. Oh, it is a highlighter.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Good point. Right.
Thank you.
So for the next game, she does pick Dallas with 4 confidence points. How do you see it, Al?
I got Detroit with 2.
Wow.
I have Dallas with 5.
I have Dallas with 6. So we're all about the same. You think Detroit can snag that one at home?
I know they will.
They have a good offense against a not good defense. That kind of helps. I have Kansas City over Cleveland with 9 confidence points.
Not double digits. Wow.
I know.
12. 12.
I have Kansas City with 10.
All right. Lauren sees at Kansas City with 10 as well. Lauren has New England over Miami with 7.
Ditto.
And I have New England over Miami with 4.
I have New England with 8.
All right. Speaking of 8, I have 8 with New Orleans at home versus Buffalo.
I got 9.
I have 9.
Nice. And all of these are on New Orleans. Lauren has New Orleans with 9. Wow. All within a point there, guys. Nice job. New Orleans takes that one in the dome, huh?
They're unbeatable at home. I mean, it's the whole thing. The Drew Brees, it's the indoor environment. They're not losing. Those fans are crazy.
If they're out there headhunting and they get their head coach suspended for a year, Brandon Merriweather needs longer to get.
By the way, at the beginning of the year, I told Andy Reid he should retire, take a year off.
Oh,
and look at him with these Chiefs,
huh?
He's your coach of the year.
Yeah, I agree. Who do you have, Giants, Philadelphia?
I only have 1 point on this game. Basically, I just can't figure out who's worse, but Philly's at home, so I took him with 1.
Has to lose.
Yeah.
I took the Giants in 5.
Took the Giants with 2.
And Ms. Mueller took the Eagles with 8, Philadelphia with 8. I have San Francisco with 13 points over the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I have the Jaguars getting another loss. San Francisco winning with 11 points of confidence.
I have 13.
Brent, how do you see that one playing out?
Which one?
Jacksonville hosting San Francisco. I need your expert opinion.
I'm going to go with Brian on this one.
All right, good. Lauren also has San Francisco with 13 points. See, she's figured out that the Oakland thing because the Oakland and Jacksonville, she's known that they're the worst.
Who told
team.
Her?
Somebody did. Well, she has the most wins in the league.
She obviously is not listening to Joe Green.
No, she's not. Loud. Oh, Jesus. You figured out how to turn it off finally. Lauren has it with Pittsburgh over Oakland with 11. Did I already say that?
I got Pittsburgh at 6.
Yeah.
I have Pittsburgh with 3.
We had those Oakland fans.
Because I don't trust Pittsburgh. Because I don't trust Pittsburgh.
I don't either. You can't.
I have
they
Oakland
can be
with
just
3.
As bad
I don't
as
trust Pittsburgh. You said 3 for Oakland?
Pittsburgh for 3.
Pittsburgh for 3. All right, I took Oakland for 3.
I got Pittsburgh.
The New York Jets, I'm believing in the Jets on the road. 2 points for the Jets.
Yeah, that's funny. Cincinnati 8.
I took the Natty
with
1.
Holy cow. Lauren is going with the Natty, as you folks from Ohio call it, I guess. 3 points for the Natty.
Oh, you're from Ohio?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know that.
Oh, hey.
Browns fan or
Bears?
One thing
okay.
that I found out,
oh, you're fine.
It took me moving to Chicago because everyone from Ohio moves here. All of them that I've met are really nice, but they did figure out that Chicago is probably the place they should end up.
No problem.
Hey, now. Brian, how do you see the Denver and Washington
I've got
game?
Denver with 7.
I got Denver with 12.
I got
bullshit!
13.
Oh, actually, I said I have Denver with 12. I was looking at Lawrence. Lauren has Denver with 12. You have Denver with how many?
13.
And I have Denver with 11.
I don't trust this whole Manning thing. That's why I'm a little – I ranked it a little low.
We'll see.
That's a good point.
We'll see. And RG3.
Then they've been smoking something.
Maybe the Redskins are catching fire.
They could be. Could be at the right time.
Atlanta.
Maybe everyone gets injured against the Redskins.
Matt Ryan had a solid week last week with almost everybody hurt. Roddy White's been hurt all year. Julio Jones was out. Steven Jackson out. And Matt Ryan had a good week last week. So I took him with 10 points over Arizona.
Wow. You are an idiot. I got Arizona at 1 point.
I have Atlanta with 6, but you're right. I mean, but I don't think it matters. I mean, whoever steps up, I mean, whoever's hurt, the next person receiver steps up. I mean, Harry Douglas, of all people, had, like, huge games.
Arizona.
Atlanta's
bad this year.
They're a dome team playing down in the dome. It should be all right.
Atlanta's a bad team this year.
Last week they did fine, and they'll do all right against Arizona.
All right.
Lauren sees Atlanta with 2. She sees Atlanta with 2. She has Minnesota over Green Bay at home. She gave it 1 point. Al, do you see that a little different?
Yeah, I'm going to take Green Bay in 10.
Yeah, I'm going to take Green Bay with 12.
Yeah, I got Green Bay with 7 right there. Not quite as confident as you young gentlemen.
Who's their quarterback again?
Christian Ponder will be the likely quarterback this week. So Oh, just keep that in mind.
Holy cow.
Apparently, did you hear the rumor? Speaking of, like, to bring this up with Minnesota, apparently there's a rumor that I forget who started another NFL that Peterson may just retire at this year because he's just fed up with this the quarterback that there's, he knows that
he's
he'll never have
Sanders?
Another.
That
that's
go
what?
NFC North.
That's what?
Holy cow. Holy cow.
Yikes. Actually, someone on like, what was it?
Now you go the Ricky Williams route.
Or you could trade him.
Yeah.
Little average.
Trade Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, you could.
For...
I was looking at pictures this week on the internet of a fundraiser. These friends of mine were at a fundraiser, and they had pictures with Adrian Peterson. And it's like, oh, here we are with Adrian Peterson, Saturday night. And I was like, before a game, I go, I bet that is former Bears running back Adrian Peterson. Sure enough, former Bears running back Adrian Peterson.
What else?
Was it a fundraiser?
What else is he up to?
I haven't researched that yet. I'm a little scared to research it.
Like a picture with Jacob Dylan. Like, yeah, here we are with Dylan.
Adrian Peterson showing up at fundraiser right now.
How many bookings do you get? How many bookings do you think he gets that people think he gets the other Adrian Peterson?
He can go on a whole tour. Like, the NFL's Adrian Peterson is here to see.
Well, he should at least shave his head because he got rid of those dreads.
He had the dreads a bit.
I hope he's a better father.
I think we're down to the money.
What?
That was not his fault.
What? No, no.
Hey, now.
You could say better.
No.
Yeah. Now, what a bad deal.
That's horrible. I know. Such a bad deal.
He kind of looked dumb for playing, though, because he thought he was going to have 300 yards rushing, which is kind of like a 3-6 loss.
He thought it was going to be a Brett Favre.
But he didn't know about the kid until, like, a week or two before the game.
Right.
Is that when he found out?
Yes. Yeah. So, apparently, the mother thought that the guy who actually beat the crap out of the kid was, like, the father, and then realized she actually asked for, like, a paternity test.
You got the wrong guy. I'm the dude, man.
She asked for a paternity test to prove it. Like, you're the father. And he's like, I'm not the father.
All right. Let's get real here.
And she's so, and he's
he
like, no. And
so pissed about the two-week kid? Or is he happier about the lack of... I'm going to stop. You know what I'm saying?
No. What happened was, like,
are you telling me this guy beat up the kid because he found out that it wasn't his and that it was Adrian Peterson's
kid? I don't know.
Kid?
Like, I don't know. No. So this the whole story.
They're idiots. They're morons.
So the whole thing is, like, the paternity test came back to be Adrian Peterson's, like, and no, she's like, who else could it be if it's not him? She's like, you know what? I did sleep with Adrian Peterson once. Sure enough, it matched. So they contacted Adrian Peterson 2 weeks before the game, like, hey, you're the father. So he had planned on the bye week to go to South Dakota, it's like in Sioux Falls.
Okay.
But apparently the guy, is like a felony, like he's beat up like three different women and two different he's a bad, just one of those bad things.
That's so horrible. That guy
he will be taken care of in prison, was just pretty much that.
Yeah, wow. No, and as should be.
And it was like in Wyoming, too.
South Dakota.
You can't beat women in anywhere, let alone in the middle of nowhere where they don't have anything else to do. Come on. That's disgusting.
You can listen to us live every week for those of you listening on the podcast. We are on Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Randy Travis here. Be sure and listen to The Morning Show with Big Al, your pal, on your country alternative 98.5 WACF.
Yeah. This show is live every Wednesday night at 8:30 Central Standard Time. You can listen to my pal, Al Larcher, and myself, Clark Vaughn, on the Larcher.
Yeah.
To round out this week's Pick'em, where we have a guest joining us again, Brian Hunter trying to become just the second guest to ever win. We've only had two before, and then he'd be two out of three. He's trying to become the second guest to ever win it. I see Seattle, and I have him with 12 over St. Louis, at St. Louis.
I got Seattle in three.
I have Seattle with 11.
And Lauren had Seattle with 6.
I originally did 9, and then I started thinking about it. And Seattle, St. Louis is just one of those teams you just
no
they
quarterback,
can beat people.
ACL. But no quarterback.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. I didn't think about the Sam Bradford thing. Yeah.
The worst game of the week, I think.
That's going to be bad.
There are some bad games.
But it's, you know, with the whole...
Who's their backup?
It's now Kellen Clemens, I believe, is the starting quarterback.
Former Brown.
was a former. But
one of 20.
The Monday night. Well, that's the thing with the Monday night games. Now they're not as good as they once were, like when we were all growing up, because NBC with their deal is they can pretty much they get the first run. They can look at the weekly schedule and they could be like, even before the season starts, they're like, oh, so of all the 16 matchups, that's the game that's the best. We're going to take that. And then now at the end of the year, oh, these two teams are playoff teams. Now we're going to – so.
Yeah. Did you see they're looking at potentially probably not a doubleheader on Thursdays? The players' union is going to veto it. But they're also the main thing that's probably going to happen is split NFL TV and a major network for the TV deal for Thursday night. So at least –
they're even talking about maybe even
without cable, we'll get half of those.
They're even talking about maybe even doing like Netflix, like actually putting a game on Netflix, just like the Thursday night. Yeah.
Wow,
smart.
Wow, the future.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is.
I love this country.
Yeah, I think that's what's gonna be.
Doors closing.
So what's the next? Like I said, like what's the point? Like you're gonna have a double Thursday, or you're gonna have a Tuesday night game now?
I don't think they'll do either.
Then they're just playing the whole
Well, I'm
week.
Just saying. They know that the money's there, that they know people
But it's
watch.
Not. They're actually
not
doing well.
I think you a Tuesday night game between two teams that just had the bye. But there's no way you can come off a Sunday and do a Tuesday.
Well, there's talk about the Thursday night game being between two teams that just came off the bye. I think that's the way that should be.
Well,
because
the way you look
you
at
saw,
the Thursday
I saw
night...
the game with the Bears play just... I'm sorry to cut you off there, brother.
It's fine.
But we saw the game with the Giants just a couple weeks ago where there just wasn't enough time. Peanut would have been starting had it been... Then
as
team,
much of a disadvantage
still hurting
as that
on
game is, those two teams have such an advantage. It's almost like a bye for the next game.
Right.
Because you have 10 days.
You know, that reminds me of another point that's kind of pissing me off this week. Right. Mark Trestman is giving the guys off until Monday.
What's he supposed to do?
That's standard, actually. Now it's a whole new...
But it's not common.
The whole new collective bargaining agreement now with the players' union when they settle the strike... Is there a bye week? There's no, like, official practice.
Yeah, I don't know. I think most
teams
start on,
like,
Friday.
Again, kids are soft these days now, so.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. Yeah.
Excuse me.
Okay, then I quit. Your son.
There. I'd like to thank Brent Ridwell.
Hello.
Open up, Clark. I
Hello?
Know it's emotional.
Oh,
it's
tough.
We're clumped.
It's tough. Brent, thanks for being here. Finding Twitter happenings at Brent J. Birdwell on the Twitter. I can't.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'll be all right. Nothing Higgins can't cure. Brian, he is at U2Hunter on the Twitter. Thank you
Bye,
so
everybody.
Much for coming by, bud.
Yeah. So it's Brian Hunter.
That's the full name, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Get up on that microphone.
Yeah, that's a legit name, yeah.
I thought your name was Hunter for some reason.
That's what everyone thinks.
Yeah, but it's just the last name.
I thought it was Hunter. Hunter.
Hunter?
Yeah. And I'm Clark Lawrence, and I am one half of the show, the Larcher and Lawrence Sports Show. Al Larcher, he's the second half.
In fact, we really feel comfortable with him in three positions.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm Al. I enjoyed the guests. They were all beautiful, wonderful. And I enjoy working with you, Clark Lawrence. Even if you won't amend a bet and be a man.
Was he talking about McClellan there? I'm comfortable with him in three positions.
I think it was one of the linebackers.
Guys, thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.
This is a simple game. You throw the ball. You hit the ball. You catch the ball. You got it!
Is it possible for you to shut the fuck up for 10 seconds?
This is a Ricky Ricardo production.